Good morning. Let's open this morning's service with hymn number 42 in our hardbacked hymnal, All Hail the Power. And may the Lord give us grace to worship him this morning. Number 42, let's all stand together.
Today? 94. Michael, you're right. 94. Armina's birthday is today, and she's 94 years old. Thank the Lord for her. By way of announcements, also, Ann Neal's sister passed away this week, and she and Day and Wayne have gone to the funeral. If you haven't yet read the letter that Bruce Crabtree wrote, it's in your bulletin this morning. I want to strongly encourage you to read that. And, you know, every week, a lot of time and effort, I don't have anything in there this week, so I can say this, but a lot of time and effort goes into, a lot of prayer goes into the articles that we put in the bulletin, and there for your encouragement. I hope you'll take the time, make the effort to read it. But Bruce's letter is just so encouraging to hear about how the Lord is giving them grace in this time of great, great trial. This morning we are going to say farewell to our dear brother Mark. Lord willing, we'll close this account of the gospel up in the two messages that the Lord has given me for today. And God has used Mark's testimony of the gospel to lead us week by week over the last several months to set our affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And how thankful we are for the witness that this brother has been, and for the testimony that the Lord gave him for us. I pray the Lord will be pleased to bless us once again today. I want you to know how thankful I am for you, and I'm thankful for the blessing that you all have been to Tricia and I over these years. And Robert, thank you, brother, for the message you brought Wednesday night. It was a blessing to the church. Thankful for these men that are faithful to bring the gospel in my absence. All right, let's go to the Lord and ask his blessings on our time together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, once again, you have in your good and merciful providence brought us each to this place. Oh, how we pray that you would spread the table with the bread of life, that you would lead us into green pastures, that you would allow us to drink from living waters, that you would send your Spirit in power and cause us, Lord, to truly have our hope in none other than thy dear Son, who is the Savior of sinners, and who has accomplished all by himself everything that you require for us to be righteous and for us to be justified in thy presence. Lord, cause Christ to be lifted up. Open your word. Open our hearts. And Lord, we do pray for Bruce and Joe. We thank you for the testimony that you have given to them and for the hope that they have in Christ for life eternal. Lord, we pray your continued grace upon them and ask, Lord, that you would cause each of us to learn by their experience where our hope lies, and cause us, Lord, to place faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is our life. For we ask it in his name. Amen. I've titled this message, A Faithful Witness. A Faithful Witness. If you were on a jury in a court of law, and you had over 500 people witness on the witness stand, the same witness, you would be convinced of the truth of their testimony. And such we have in the scriptures. We have God given to his church, witness upon witness upon witness, testifying the same thing. And yet, unless the Lord is pleased to give us faith, we will be like those that the Lord spoke of in John chapter 5. You will not come unto me that you might have life. In spite of the fact that there is irrefutable testimony, there is irrefutable witness to the gospel. You and I weren't there. This took place 2,000 years ago. And no man hath seen God at any time. You haven't seen him with your eyes. The only message we have is the testimony of them who saw him. The testimony of the risen Lord. And once their testimony was given in Scripture, then it became God's testimony. And when the Lord causes you to believe the faithful witnesses, you just believe them. You believe them. And all the hope of your salvation rests in that faith that God gives to believe the witnesses that he's given to us. All the hope of our salvation is recorded for us right here in the book. And we've said this before, we don't separate the written word from the living word. They are one and the same. The written word testifies to the living word. Everything in this book points to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. So here's our hope. Here's our hope. Notice in our text, in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 9, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept." So the biggest problem the disciples are having at this point is that they did not believe the clear testimony that the Lord told them that he would raise after 3 days. Here they are weeping and crying, figuring that all is lost. Mary Magdalene saw him. She was the first one to see the risen Lord. And she went back and testified to them, he's alive, he's risen, everything he said that he would do, he's done. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They did not believe the testimony of this woman. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Now that's a reference to what we find in Luke chapter 24. You remember the two disciples that are walking home from to Emmaus, and the Lord walks along beside them, and he begins to expound unto them those things concerning himself from Moses and the law and the prophets, and the Psalms. And when they get to their home, they compel him to stay, and then he in the breaking of bread. And that's how the Lord continues to reveal himself today, in the breaking of bread. What we're doing right now is breaking open the bread of life in hopes that the Lord will do for us what he did for those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their eyes were opened and they saw him, and immediately he vanished from their sight. And what did they say? Oh, did our hearts not burn within us as he spake with us along the way? 7 miles Emmaus was from Jerusalem, and so as soon as the Lord had, it was late in the evening, dinner time, they turned around, ran all the way back to Jerusalem, found the disciples weeping and crying up in the upper room of wherever they were, and they told them, we've seen him, and they believed them not. Here's our problem, isn't it? When the scripture speaks in Hebrews chapter 4 of that easily besetting sin, turn with me to that passage. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now this is right after Hebrews chapter 11, which is the testimony of all the Old Testament saints and how God had spoke to them and revealed the gospel to each of them. And then the writer to Hebrews says in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, Wherefore, in light of all these faithful witnesses, seeing that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, I used to think that that meant that each of us have a different sin that we struggle with more than anyone else. And that's true. I'm sure that's true. But there is one sin that is the mother of all sin. There is one sin that easily besets every one of us, and it is the sin of unbelief. It is the very sin that these disciples were guilty of in not believing the testimony. I have sent you faithful witnesses. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Lord tells us that after he was seen of the apostles, he was seen of 500 which were still alive and able to give testimony of what they saw. And so God has given us faithful witnesses all throughout the Word, and now He's He's admonishing us, believe these witnesses. Believe the testimony. They are faithful witnesses. Lay aside that sin which does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now that word, that next word, you see it, despising? When you despise something, you think little of it. And that's actually the literal translation of this word. He thought little of the shame that came upon him at the cross. In other words, he endured that shame because it did not stop him from doing what he came to do, die for his church, save his people. And so the Lord's saying, looking unto Jesus, he's the author. He's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He's the one, he's the surety that has always stood in your stead before God. Look to him. Not only is he the author of your salvation, not only is he the redeemer of your salvation, but he's the finisher of it. He's going to keep you from falling, and he's going to present you faultless before the throne of God, without blame, holy, undefiled. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. What is unbelief? Unbelief is not looking to Christ. And our flesh is so full of, our flesh is nothing but unbelief. And when that centurion said, Lord, I do believe. Oh, help thou mine unbelief. I've got an easily besetting sin. It's the sin of my flesh. It's this body of death that I carry around with me. And it's constantly causing me to look somewhere other than Christ for the hope of my salvation and for the hope of my life. I'm always being pulled away. And that's what the Lord's saying. Believe these witnesses. God has given us an abundance of witnesses. And once their testimony is written in Scripture, it becomes God's testimony. Turn to me to the book of Revelation. Now the Lord, these disciples, Revelation chapter 1, these disciples didn't believe Mary Magdalene. They didn't believe the disciples that came back from Emmaus. These eyewitnesses who were only confirming what God had already promised, what God had promised all through the Old Testament, what the Lord Jesus Christ had affirmed in his testimony to the disciples, they were just confirming what had already been said by God. And they didn't believe it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John to the seven churches. John testifies, I've seen him, and I'm testifying to you what I know is true. And John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, there are not seven separate spirits. This is the word seven. The number seven is the number for perfection. And the Holy Spirit is perfect. And when God talks about the seven spirits, he's talking about the Holy Spirit who convinces his people to believe. That's what we... You see, in spite of the fact that we have an abundance of witnesses, an abundance of faithful testimony, and the Lord himself, look at the next verse, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. So to not believe the Scripture is to not believe the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to not believe God. The disciples, that was their problem. They didn't believe. I want to believe God. I want you to believe God. I want you to believe him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. I want us to not be able to not believe God. And that's what faith does. Faith cannot not believe God. Just can't do it. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. And faith is the gift of God. And the reason why faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. We preach what God has said, and God gives faith to his people to believe it. Turn me over just a couple pages, Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. He that hath an ear, where am I going to get that ear from? You see, the channel to the heart is the ear. It's the ear. It's not the brain. It's not the mind. It's not the intellect. You don't believe something because you understand it. Whatever understanding God gives us, it comes only after we believe what he said. These disciples did not believe the testimony. And what is he saying? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God, give me an ear to hear the Spirit of God and to believe. Turn to me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Man says, I'll believe what I see. And the believer sees what he believes. Believing always comes before seeing. You hear and you say, truth, Lord. Yes, I believe. I can't not believe. And then the Lord begins to give us some understanding as to what we're believing, and we never... Oh, our understanding is so... Everything we're talking about, everything we believe is so limited in our understanding, isn't it? If the hope of our salvation is based on our understanding, we're all in trouble. But if it's based on the fact that we believe, Lord, you've given me faith to believe. These disciples had an easily besetting sin, just like you and I do, acknowledging our unbelief. The Lord's going to rebuke them. No, notice what happens, Revelation chapter 19. At verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. These are the true sayings of God. I said, well, how do I know they're true? Because God said they're true. We're not here to prove the Bible. You know, the Bible never seeks to prove the existence of God. Never. In the beginning, God. The Bible just declares the truthfulness of God. It doesn't seek to... God doesn't have to justify himself. He doesn't have to prove himself to anybody. Let's read the rest of these verses. Verse 10, he saith unto me, verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. This is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the faithful witness, and he's given us faithful witnesses. We have we have so many witnesses that testify all to the same thing. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the spirit of prophecy. So all the prophets spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. God has a standard of righteousness, and anything that falls short of that standard of righteousness will be consumed by his fiery wrath. Oh, thank God. Thank God. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. One who has satisfied the demands of God's holy law on behalf of his people. One who causes us to cast all our care and all our hope upon him, for he is the one that's faithful and true. Believe his testimony. Believe God. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Brethren, we have nothing less than the Word of God. This Word, go back with me to our text in Mark chapter 16. I want you to see these disciples now. They didn't believe Mary Magdalene. They didn't believe these two disciples that ran all the way back from Emmaus to tell them that they had seen the Christ. Slow of heart to believe. And matter of fact, that's what these two disciples that ran back from Emmaus, when they were walking with the Lord on the road, the Lord rebuked them for not believing the scriptures. He said, oh, you slow of heart to believe. Did you not know that Christ must suffer according to the scriptures? Didn't you believe what God said? Verse 14 of Mark chapter 16. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes the disciples because they did not believe the testimony of these eyewitnesses. Thomas wasn't there. We learn from other gospel writers. And Thomas didn't believe the testimony of the 11 disciples. 10 disciples. He didn't believe the 10 disciples. Lest I put my finger into the wounds of his hands and my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. I've got to see it in order to believe it. And what did the Lord say when he appeared to Thomas? Thomas, here they are. Put your fingers into my hands. Put your hand into my side. Oh, I'm just certain that Thomas never did that scripture. He didn't stick his finger in the Lord. He fell at his feet and he confessed, my Lord and my God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to Thomas, Thomas, it's good that you believe now that you've seen me. But blessed are those. Blessed of God are those who have not seen, yet they believe. Why did they believe? Because they heard the faithful witness of those who had seen. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9 says, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Now that word established means to have assurance, to have a place to stand, a place of comfort. And God says, if you will not believe, you shall not be established. You won't be established before God. God calls on us to believe. Believe. Luke Luke chapter 22, verse 67, the Pharisees trying to interrogate the word of God. Art thou the Christ? And the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, if I told you, you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn with me there. We have Hebrews chapter 4. God calls all men everywhere to repent, to believe. The preaching of the gospel is to call on men to believe God. Just believe God. Rest all the hope of your salvation on the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is faithful and true. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Coming short of entering into his rest. That's what it means to be established. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. You shall not have rest for your soul if you will not believe. And now the Lord's using the example of the Old Testament Israelites who died in the wilderness. They never crossed the Jordan River. They never entered into the promised land. Why? They heard the testimony of the gospel. They saw the water from the rock. They saw the manna every day for 40 years, day in and day out. They heard the testimony of the law. In so many ways, the Lord demonstrated the gospel to them. They saw the brazen serpent put upon a pole. And then when God said, go into the promised land, oh, we can't do that. We can't do that. We're grasshoppers in our own sight. Look at the giants in the land. And because of their own unbelief, they died in the wilderness. And now the Lord's going to use that as an example for us. An encouragement for us. Look what he says. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe. They heard the gospel. They had ears, but they did not hear. Eyes they had, but they did not see. The Lord confronted them with the gospel, but they refused to believe God. They believed what they saw. You will not believe, the Lord said, unless you see a sign and a wonder. A wicked and perverse generation seeketh after a sign. There's not going to be any signs. Don't wait for a sign. Don't wait for a feeling. Believe God. What they heard was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. What is entering into his rest? Although the works were finished from the foundation of the earth. Entering into his rest, believing God, is believing that God did all the works necessary for our salvation. It's resting all our hope in the finished work and glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what faith is. That's what believing God is. And God gave to these disciples testimony upon testimony upon testimony, witness upon. They all came. And they, we're not going to believe it till we see it. And the Lord rebuked them. If you're going to wait to see something before you believe it, you will die in your sins. You will die in your sins. God's not going to give you any other witness other than the witness that he's given you. No other testimony. No other word. This is it. God says, believe the faithful and true witness. It's all I'm going to give you. All I'm going to give you. Believe me. Let's take a break.